Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Tony La Russa's back.
How do you relate to a 22-year-old?
Man, he was the White Sox manager 41 years ago.
His entire roster was not born.
The Rich Eisen Show.
When he was the White Sox manager.
Earlier on the show. Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Walker Buehler. Coming up. Host of the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz. Dan Le Batard. Actor Omari Hardwick. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Already had a great chat with Walker Buehler of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Bruce Feldman, the actor Omari Hardwick, who spent a cup of coffee with the Georgia Bulldogs back in the 90s, one of the stars of Power, and his new movie Spell. He'll be joining us on the show. Chris Brockman's going to give you some sneaky good games to earn yourself hard-earned American dollars in cash based on his opining of who wins, who loses, and something called a spread involved.
Indeed.
Again, as you know, I'm an NFL employee. I don't condone this stuff, even if I understood it. and then we'll go higher register again, which is what we do every Friday, where we got to go up here to, you know, actually believe a take that we kind of need to go all the way up here to believe. Right? That's going to be later on.
Can't wait.
You know, just trying to churn out the content here on NBC Sports on Peacock every day between 12 and 3. And I'm excited to have here on the show back here. It's been quite some time. Love this guy's work. Always love appearing on his radio show, his radio simulcast, the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz, who thinks I steal everything of his. Also, he's the host of Highly Questionable every day at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. He is the great Dan Le Batard. How are you, Dan?
Rich, thank you. I appreciate being on your program. I just heard with all the pomp and circumstance,
yes, sir,
and the fanfare,
yes,
like you have a hell of a show planned today, and I find myself honored to be in the middle of it.
Dan, you're one of my favorites. You know that. And I'm not just saying that because I'm trying to look like a good guy in front of everybody watching this program or listening to it. I really do believe it, and I always love appearing on your show. And I want to talk to Tua, and I figured, you know what, let me get you on to try and give voice as to what is about to maybe be born in South Florida. Is this as big a moment as I feel it might be right now?
Well, it has the possibility of being, right? Because the greatest thing, we're in the emotion business, you and I, and there's nothing stimulates the customers in the hope business like a promise. Like the idea that if you're in the emotion business, we've got hope and we've got promise here. And we haven't had this spirit here since Dan Marino. Like, I'm not even making this up. Go ahead, Rich. You're a football expert. Nobody would question your football acumen. Do you know off the top of the head the last time the Dolphins won a playoff game? Like, do you know who – can you name the people from the last time the Dolphins won a playoff game? Because I think it's Lamar Smith and Dave Wanstead that you got to go back. Like, it's a long time, and it's because they haven't had a quarterback. Like, they had a chance when Nick Saban, when they swallowed Nick Saban's coaching career in Miami, he had to choose between Dante Culpepper and Drew Brees, damaged goods, both of them. You see what happens with Drew Brees after that, and you've seen what happened with two Nick Saban and Dante Culpepper. Like, it's been Chad Pennington as a, you know, a guy who came second MVP voting in sort of a Parcells year that everyone knew he wasn't the future of the franchise and that he was noodle arm. It's been a really long time since they had quarterback hope. And this is what the kid represents.
And it's not just because, you know, they're familiar with his work from, you know, in SEC country, I think. There's something about him, man. There's an it factor. Just even hearing him on his Zoom calls this week, and I know his game has been compared to Russell Wilson's, but he sounds like him. Like, he doesn't seem fazed by any of this right now. Like, he's ready.
He is an unusual creature in this respect, right? He is still a kid in some ways. Like, the way that he talks about his parents and the relationship with his parents, and, you know, in the youth, the numbers on his birth certificate just out of college, he is a kid in that respect. But as a quarterback, he's sort of a man in terms of the model that you want to make for say all the right things, get the questions away from your locker, just grind through it and talk about love and football and make sure that you come back to our huddle without creating any headlines. And around him, they see the work ethic and they like him. None of this means anything, right? He might look really bad his first time out because Aaron Donald is in the middle of the field. Yes. And I wouldn't wish that upon anybody, any quarterback. I wouldn't wish pressure up the middle. So I have no idea if we'll be able to make any kind of accurate assessment based on how he plays this Sunday. All I can tell you is that the enthusiasm, this used to be a football town. Rich, you're old enough.
Yes.
Okay. To sort of remember, you're old enough to remember that the Miami Dolphins used to be a national franchise. They were not a regional franchise. They were not something that played second place to the Miami Heat in town. They have desecrated everything that Dan Marino and Don Shula have built. The only time they get into the national story headlines is when their coach is doing lines of cocaine off of his desk, or Richie Incognito is bullying a teammate. Like, this team has been irrelevant nationally for 20 years. They're not on Sunday.
Dan Le Batard here on the Rich Eisen Show. And, you know, you're not wrong. And, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, as exciting as he is and always will be and entertaining, and no matter how much, obviously, his teammates adored playing with him and I'm still having him around. I mean, am I watching Dolphins Rams like I'm going to be this weekend if he's the quarterback? Maybe, but not probably not. Am I watching him versus Kyler Murray in the same way that I can't wait for Tua versus Kyler Murray or Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes? That's what's ahead of us right now over the next several weeks. There's no doubt a significant relevance factor to this maneuver, I think.
I would argue that over our sports journalism lifetime, right, as we've seen LeBron James become the biggest star in America and sort of change the paradigm on us loving the transaction as much as we love the action. Fantasy sports, we love the transaction. We love to talk about storylines. We love to talk about the things that are changing across. If you could change your teams today with the hope of tomorrow, we'll wish on tomorrow if your today isn't so good. I would argue that even as a basketball player, changing teams can change all your fortunes. There is nothing better for any fan base across sports than to have a guy entering the huddle who promises you 10 to 15 years of being great. It's why everyone envies the Kansas City Chiefs right now, because you know that no matter what happens there, they figured it out at that, the most important position. And so you can imagine Dolphin fans, they cannot wait to unopen that package.
So why do you think they did do it now, though, Dan? What's your best guess, or what have you heard that the reason why they did now at 3-3 make this move?
You know, these guys are tight-lipped. They come from the Belichick chain. It's
right.
Said to be a very, well-coached franchise. But this is what I would say to you, because I'm always marveling at how we make, outside of the huddle, we make our analysis and we talk to people. But we never know and never have as much invested as the people who are living their lives every day and making these decisions. And so, coming off of two blowouts, coming off of, and I can't remember the last time the Dolphins had two straight weeks right. Where they annihilated an opponent, going out to San Francisco and then doing it to the Jets. Ryan Fitzpatrick least deserved to lose his job right now with the Dolphins, but I'm guessing because they've seen him in practice, they know Aaron Donald is coming because they had this plan for a long time. I am guessing, much like many years ago when Jimmy Johnson walked in and he had drafted Zach Thomas at linebacker, but had a veteran Jack Del Rio and immediately saw, okay, Jack Del Rio, you're released. Zach Thomas, my fifth round pick, is clearly better than you. I have to assume that they're doing it now because they saw something that indicated to them in practice, because they have a lot invested in this. Wait a minute. Ryan Fitzpatrick, even though he's been a top 10 quarterback in terms of efficiency this year and is coming off of two blowouts, you go sit down. We're going to break your heart. It's going to hurt. You're going to talk about how it hurts more than any benching you've ever taken. It's because the kid is ready. And that's how this, the ecosystem, the food chain in this sport works. Old guy, get out of here. Young guy is here to replace you.
And it's not just any young guy. I know, again, I'm sure people hear me gush about him and hearing what you're saying about him, too. It's just like the guy has not done a single thing, in the professional ranks. It's just something about him, literally being in the same room with him, and you get the sense that he's got it. Honestly, I know I'd be accused of overhyping. I honestly don't think this is an overhype. I'm already seeing he has a Tebow-like following. That's a fact. I could see any time that we talk about him how people react. That's a fact, I think, Dan. No question in my mind.
I mean, well, you have a situation where he introduced himself to us in the closest thing we've had to a professional team in college football with Alabama, when he comes in at the very beginning and he introduces himself. We don't know how to pronounce his name. We don't even know what's happening. We think Alabama's about to lose, because Nick Saban's real genius, quiet as it's kept, is that before Tua, he somehow won championships largely hiding his quarterback. This was the first time that he had a quarterback where we're like, oh, wait, that guy's special. And we saw it from almost the first throw that he made when he introduced himself to it.
And I guess, is irony not strong enough of a word that if Tua does, in fact, work out to be the next Marino, it's a quarterback that Nick Saban gave to the Dolphins? Is irony doing not enough lifting in that statement?
Yeah. I think irony is Alanis Morissette's use of irony, where she can make a lot of money off of irony, but it's not actually irony.
So it's not exactly it's not exactly rain on the Dolphins' wedding day, is basically what you're saying.
That is correct. And again, for all this hope, we have the risk of being embarrassed because Aaron Donald is the best defensive player I've ever seen. Like, I'm putting him up there with Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor. Like, to be able to do what he does up the middle that can short circuit any quarterback, like, they are really starting him at the hardest level right off the bat.
Yeah, it's a deep end of the pool. Before I let you go, what do you think the Heat should do? What do you think the Heat's offseason should include? Do you think they should, if Giannis even twitches in the direction of not signing the Supermax, blow everything up, or just stay the course? What do you think?
I'm not saying anything that people don't know. Everybody wants Giannis, but this has been their plan for a while. When they got Jimmy Butler, the plan was to get somebody better than Jimmy Butler to be the top end of this team. And everything that happened in the playoffs, even though it ended with them finishing second place, they needed all of that to happen to shake Milwaukee's core in what they're doing and to show Giannis, well, we can take you out. Imagine what we can do with you here. Like, they've got some fringe pieces that they can get this year to stay under the salary cap, but I would assume that they remain trained on how do we get Giannis. The only thing that matters is getting Giannis.
So do me a favor. Tell Stu Gotts that I have my own ideas, okay? Will you tell him that what comes out of my mouth and on my Twitter feed in no way, shape, or form is in any way influenced by anything that comes out of his mouth or he puts on Twitter? Can you please do that for me? Because the number of times that I say something and then somebody's like, you know, you're stealing that from Stu Gotts, or he says you stole it from him, I've lost track, and I don't want to block. I don't like to mute. I don't like to do anything like that. I'm going to the top of the flow chart here, Dan, essentially.
I got to go the other way, and I'm sorry. I've got to stick with my teammate and accuse you professionally across the country, nationally, of actually being a thief, of being somebody who sits around waiting for Stu Gotts' gems and then collects them and then passes them off as his own. I'm going to accuse you of that as well.
I'm outraged, but also I can respect it. I can respect your approach, Dan. I'll be very honest with you, although outraged. But I understand. I understand who you have to work with every day, and I understand the success you're having together. So I'll take that. I'll take that, and I'll just deal with it myself.
Privately.
You take care of yourself, Dan. I always appreciate our chats, and I'd love to come on, do a home and home whenever you wish, if that's what you'd like.
Yes, of course. Of course. You're always welcome, Rich. Okay. Thank you for making the time. I really respect your work. Always
right,
have.
Right back at you. That's Dan Le Batard here on the Rich Eisen Show. Nobody better. Nobody better. Nobody better. I just love the way he talks, the way his mind works. And in terms of writing, obviously he's got a lot going on with his TV career. I don't think he's one of the best writers of all time.
It's too bad he doesn't do it that much.
No, I know,
anymore,
I know. But
he'll
when he does, though, he'll.
Yeah,
it's a stem winder every time.
Doing.
I know that.
Must read.
I know that. I know Tua has not taken a snap in the NFL yet. And I know I'm opening myself up to a freezing cold take. I know it. I get it. I get it. Don, would you mind, again, getting that soundbite that he said the other day about his relationship with Ryan Fitzpatrick? Again, just think about it. You're 3-3. You take a veteran. You bench him. As he pointed out, two blowout wins to go 3-3, right? Your team does that. He's popular in the locker room. The fans who are like, yeah, we know about Tua. Yeah, we're excited to have him. But let's play it out, right? Let's play it out. You're talking about how you don't want to put the kid out there when he's not ready, and you want to utilize the fact that he broke his damn hip and needed surgery, and you're utilizing the fact that you have a guy who does have you on a path to a playoff spot, who is performing very well. Your fan base is starving for the next Marino, but even those people who might believe that of Tua are thinking, let's play it out with Ryan, right? This is called house money. It's called house money. And then the organization says the house money really is to put Tua in now. That's the house money, because we may not win the Super Bowl, even if we make the playoffs this year, but let's get this kid moving. Let's get his feet wet. Let's get his beak wet. Let's go. You make that move now. And again, Trent Dilfer came on the show just the other day, and he was working out with Tua. He was the guy who worked him out getting ready for the draft. He said Tua was broken when he was in the office. Broken. Just wiped out from the surgery and the expectations and all of that, getting ready, knowing that he's got to do it again, prove it again, to make sure that he's gets it, the status of his draft status that was robbed of him by the football injury gods. And this is how he gets his first start. And this is how he shows up after his first week of practice as the starter when asked about his relationship with the quarterback he's replaced.
Nothing really feels any different now that I'm in. The only thing that's different is I'm getting the reps now. But with Fitz, after series, and when we have our first team series, second team series, third team series, I come off to the sideline and Fitz always has something that he wants to say to me, whether it has to do with protection, with where he would look at as far as progression reads, and how he would read certain things out, that can make it easier for me, hopefully come time Sunday.
Chris, we've seen many young quarterbacks getting their first starts, right? We've seen it in crazy circumstances and how they handle the situation. And you just get the sense there's no gee whiz, golly, I hope it'll work out. I'm just honored to be here. Like, none of that. The only thing I can compare it to, and I know I've made this before, but you remember back when we did our first season kickoff Rich Eisen podcast show on NFL Network, you were the one in the edit bay to make it all work out. And we threw something on you last minute. We're adding one more guest. And you were probably like, what, are you kidding me? How many do we have? We had like six, right?
And yeah, we had a lot.
And the last one we added was the rookie quarterback from Seattle who had gotten the gig.
Yep.
Even though they had signed free agent Matt Flynn and Tavares Jackson was there, because he worked all the time in the film room and with his starters and to become the starter. And we were even told by the Seahawks, it's kind of iffy if you're going to get him. Because why?
Because he was watching film.
All the time.
So he took a break, a 10-minute break from watching film to join us.
Russell Wilson. Sounded just like that. When we were just like, oh, gosh, okay, so he's going to be the starting quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks now, huh?
Like, who, what?
Right. Guy's not even 6 feet. And he's going to be the quarterback. Okay. But he sounded like that.
See how it goes.
Telling you, Tua is ready. And I love the fact that he's in front of Aaron Donald, and it's a very, very deep end of the pool. There may be an undertow pulling him down, wearing another 99 jersey on Sunday. But even if it doesn't matter.
Are you going to pick him?
Who, Tua?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Which shows you, you know, I'm hyping him up, but
sure.
I'm...
Be consistent.
What, just didn't say he's going to win?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know.
Yeah. Why not? Home game.
Don't goad me into doing something.
Traveling east. Yeah, early just like, window.
Okay.
Look, I mean, it's right there.
Are you taking him in sneaky good games? Is this one of your games?
No.
You're not even touching it. See, you're not touching it. For good reason, because he could come out and do it. Or
it's Aaron Donald.
That's Aaron
there.
Donald.
Yeah.
But it's going to be must-see, and it's going to be relevant, and it's going to work. Even if it doesn't win now, it's going to work in the long haul. But I think you're going to see a lot of short-term success that you're not expecting. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. The actor in the new movie Spell and from Power and from back in the day, the defensive backfield of the Georgia Bulldogs, Omari Hardwick, and you still to come. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Major League Baseball just approved the ownership bid of Stephen Cohen for the Mets. So you got your owner.
Yes.
And Koppelman and Levine, the creators of Billions, swear that is not Bobby Axelrod.
The fact that they so vehemently deny it,
I don't know,
makes you think that maybe it
they say
is.
That is not Bobby Axelrod, Stephen Cohen. Although he does seem to have a lot of the fingerprints of Bobby Axelrod. Okay. So Bobby Axelrod has just bought the Mets.
Now, if that works its way into Billions, season five.
Yeah, he owns sports team.
Yeah, I know, right?
Bobby buys
if Pete
team.
Alonso suddenly shows up on the next episode of Billions, you're like, what's going on there? Wags is in the on-deck circle.
Exactly.
Okay, very good. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show. We'll take your phone calls, and we're back here on our radio network. Still to come, sneaky good games from Chris Brockman, our higher register takes for Friday. It'll be a lot of fun. But we're joined right now on the phone line by the man who played Ghost in Power for all those years and now is in the new film Spell in select theaters starting today. Also available at home and premium video on demand digital today, just in time for Halloween weekend. The actor Omari Hardwick here on the program. How are you, Omari?
How you doing? I appreciate you having me. I'm super humbled to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you here right now. Are you typically in real life a horror movie guy? I mean, do you normally take these in, or you just like starring?
I never typically have been that guy. I mean, you know, having come from sports, as you know, I come from, and maybe there's some horror thriller to being an athlete. It comes with its share. But never in the genre of film. I've never necessarily been down with it. I get the whole psychological thriller.
Yes.
I don't necessarily get down with the blood and gore, but I've watched my share of The Shining, Children of the Corn. That one probably did a disturbing thing to me. And you know, I tend to like Hannibal Lecter. I think that Anthony Hopkins really got it in on that one. So
yeah, he
Misery, of course, which this film is being compared to. I've watched that as well.
Well, there's a little bit of Misery to what's going on in your film as well, right, Omari? I mean, I don't know if you remember Misery, where James Caan was locked in a house or locked in a room, but it seemed like there's a little bit of that going on, right? Correct?
No, you're right. It's in terms of the handcuffing, in terms of a woman enslaving a man, right, and sort of being able to have her way with this man. It's a little bit like that in that sense, but this is different because, of course, we're diving deep into the historical component of hoodoo and voodoo, the differentiation between the two, how the Appalachian area, ironically, specifically around that those Virginia mountains, how there's still communities that get down with that, practitioners, people that work in kind of like grain and ground and mud and blood and skin and use all of that to sort of to create, I guess, or curate this boogity doll. And so in that regard, it's not what Kathy Bates was doing with Jimmy Caan.
Yes.
It's a little different, but absolutely I'm entrapped a lot like James Caan was in Misery.
Yeah, Omari Hardwick starring in Spell, again, just in time for a Halloween weekend here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's dive a little bit into that sports background. You wound up on the Georgia Bulldogs, correct? Did you not back in the day, Omari?
Yes, sir. Yep, you are correct.
Okay.
You know, what's funny is, You were at the University of Michigan, is that correct?
I was at the University of Michigan from 86 to 90, so before you were in the mid-90s with the Georgia Bulldogs. Yeah.
Absolutely. But ironically, I only bring that up to say my dream school, actually, Rich, was to play for the Maize and Blue. That was actually my whole life, I thought I'd play for Bo Schembechler, and then it transitioned into Gary Moeller.
Right.
Went to a couple camps, roommated with Terrell Wheatley at one of those camps, and then The offer from the Big Ten was actually Wisconsin, Northwestern as well, but the offer didn't come from Michigan, and I ended up at University of Georgia.
Well, that's a great place to land, but the fact that you wanted to be wearing the Maize and Blue just shows you about what a successful, smart man that you are, Omari.
I love that. Look at you.
You know? No, I mean, it just shows you that you know class. You have taste. But Georgia is a great, by the way, backup plan, certainly if you want to play
not a bad backup.
Football. So, in the defensive backfield with you was, in fact, the current coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, Kirby Smart. Is that right?
There he was. There he was.
No
at the
kidding.
Epicenter of the defensive backfield, playing none other than free safety, strong at times. We both platoon between strong, I as a corner to strong safety, and then he as a free safety to strong safety. So he was doing it up. Of course, there we had Ray Goff in that transition to Donnan, who at Marshall had Randy Moss, and then they transitioned into Coach Rick, who, of course, Champ Bailey and the likes, the ending years of Robert Edwards and of course, Hines Ward had those same coaches as well. So, yeah, Kirby was with me, and now it's nice for all of us to come back and hang out with our fellow alum a little bit.
I bet so. I'm sure you're living and dying with Georgia Bulldog football, certainly the last few years. I'm sure you are.
Absolutely.
No, I know. Every time I talk to Terrell Davis, that's all he wants to talk about is Georgia Bulldog football. And I'm sure, you know, seeing Todd Gurley balling out for Atlanta right now as he was last night is particularly prideful for you to watch, I imagine.
Yeah. No, it's a good thing because I'm disappointed in the Falcons in so many ways. I'm really, honestly, I've had this conversation recently with Travis Stroud and a couple of acting buddies of mine who grew up in Atlanta. Travis Stroud having been a teammate at Georgia. And we've talked about the fact that, I don't know, maybe it's a transplant city sort of thing, but it just doesn't seem. I brought it up to Deion Sanders as well, and I said to Prime and those other two aforementioned cats that it just seems like Atlanta sports, Georgia Bulldogs included, we just don't seem to get over that hump, Rich. And it really bothers a lot of us, particularly those that are native and not transplants to the city. But I'm proud of all of those guys, like you said, you know, Gurley getting it in, Sony Michel at New England.
That's right.
I'm proud of all of those guys that, you know, represent our city and the college I came from very well.
I know. I know Atlanta lost to the Lions last week, but at least DeAndre Swift walked out with a win in Atlanta. You know, I mean, and it seems like he's getting better and stronger every single week. And Hines Ward, man, I mean, a Super Bowl MVP. I love that guy. What was it like being a college teammate of his, Omari?
Man, it was like being next to, you know, when you hear that adage, the last shall finish first, Rich, and I'm sure you've heard it, you know, whether being a person that was raised in any kind of religious thoughts or what have you, the adage of the last shall finish first is what it was like being around him. And what I mean by that is sometimes, bro, you look over to the left or to the right of the bench and he was just sitting there because they almost didn't know what to do with him. You know, he's a football player, and it's often not the case that people are drafted as such. He is an absolute player, playmaker, you know, what have you. And so obviously specifically becoming a wide receiver, not even with literally big hands, but obviously figuratively some of the biggest hands the game's ever seen, and goes on to Pittsburgh and shows out in ways that, again, at University of Georgia, sometimes we didn't know what to do with him. And we'd look over and you'd be like, Ryan Hines in the game. He'd go in the platoon at quarterback on maybe third and four or whatever, and then he'd play receiver. He kind of, they didn't, you know, put him in on the on motion as a wing back, but they didn't really know what to do with him all the time. And I got to be honest, and we often as teammates commented on that in our pride, we deemed in pride when, of course, they figured out exactly what to do with him in the great city of Pittsburgh. It was awesome. And I think he should be our next inductee to the Hall of Fame. Champ Bailey and I talked about it, and I think he's going to squeeze in, Mitch.
So,
or walk in.
You know what? At some point, I think he gets in. But the same thing, Amari Hardwick, the actor from Power and now Spell, which is in theaters, select theaters, and on demand and digital today on premium video at home, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I think the same thing you just mentioned about what to do with him is the same thing that's going to keep him from being in the hall sooner rather than later. It's this, you know what I mean?
I got you.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like in the fact that, okay, we want to compare wide receiver stats, you know, Randy Moss just got in and so on and so forth.
Right.
But if you put it all together, like if you want to talk about a football player, like him, who else? Somebody like Brian Dawkins. Those are the guys that can play. Like, if I want to build a team of football players who you need your head on a swivel because somebody's going to come for you.
That's right.
Polamalu is another one, you know, I mean, although he's, you know, he's a first ballot guy, but I'm talking about football players. He is one of them. There's no two ways about it. No two ways about it.
Totally. I think you nailed it. I think you nailed it as often, obviously with your savvy brain within the sport realm. Of course, you know that, Rich, but also I would include in that Ed Reed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like Ed Reed from Baltimore, he's in that category too.
Oh, yeah.
And I do agree, and I guess I hadn't thought about it from that standpoint, that perhaps the same things that were his gifts at University of Georgia, and that being such a multitudinal cat in the football realm, he kind of was just sitting there at times, coaches not knowing what to do with him, that equally that's been his curse as it pertains to post-Pittsburgh and the accolades that'll come or not come. I think that's a great assessment.
So just one last for you on this. So Terrell Davis was right before you and Champ was right after, or did you cross paths with either of these Hall of Famers?
Both of them, man. Both of them are not only having been very close to me, not only crossing paths, but having been very, very close to me. They both are probably my two closest friends from those years. Robert Edwards included, Travis Stroud included, but absolutely Terrell and Champ Bailey are probably the ones that I talk to the most.
Good people, man, all of them. And then, you know, congrats on being able to transition as well as you have. It's not easy. It's not easy. That's the question so many football players have is what next? And you got thrown into that when you were undrafted and, you know, Power, and now you're starring in this movie Spell. I mean, it's really great. You're successful and you deserve it.
I appreciate that, man. It's super humbling. I kind of looked at it from a standpoint of knowing very early, Rich, that it was a misnomer in not calling an athlete an artist. You know, they often don't get called artists, whether it's the balletic prowess of a basketball player, you know, LeBron to back to Michael over to Kobe, rest in power and rest in peace. Or if it's just the power, as my wife often says, of, to her, the biggest and best athlete is a football player. And she says it's not necessarily from a skill standpoint, but often when she's looking at linebackers, the better parts of 260, running a 4.6, you know, 40, hawking down a running back or hunting down a quarterback, that's a different level of artistry. And we're not called that. And so the transition was interesting when people kind of wanted to talk about the two, the amalgamation of which might be just that in the actor that you see in me. Maybe whatever you see or whatever colleagues competing for me or against me for a role, maybe they are going against an athlete meets this guy that's figured out craft and stage and theater. And I think more of us should try it. Sean Springs back in the day used to ask me about it. Charles Woodson would ask me about it. And there's some, you know, Emmanuel Sanders, he's often tried to pick my brain. Kyrie Irving, who I big brother a lot, he's another one from the basketball side who said, hey man, you think I can really playing this world, you know, after his time of being a Ghost Crew, that movie.
He's got some chops. Kyrie's got some, as Uncle Drew, he's got some chops. There's no doubt about that.
He definitely has it. You know, obviously Terry Crews, that guy, but the compliment that you paid to me, Rich, I don't take it with a grain of salt. I'm very humble because I don't look like Dwayne Johnson or Terry Crews. I look like the guy next door. And then, you know what I mean? I don't look like those guys.
Yeah, there's always time. Omari, there's time. There's time. There's weights. There's the weight room. There's still always that. Or, you know, and Thomas Jones. Thomas Jones is doing it right now, too. I love Thomas. He's doing it right now, too.
Thomas Jones is doing it. And we can't forget, of course, we cannot forget Michael Strahan and all he's transitioned into he's become. Even if it's not from the thespian standpoint, if it's, you know, the true gift of acting, he's definitely showed all those other gifts that God put on him. So shout out to him, too.
And then last one, you know, I don't mean to correct you. You mentioned Prime. It's not Prime. It's Coach Prime, Omari.
Oh, Coach Prime.
Coach Prime. He's Coach Prime time now. He's Coach, which
I'm... Isn't that awesome?
It's great. It's great. And you know who's going to rue the... And I'll say this, even though he probably wouldn't want me to. Florida State's going to rue that mistake. For the moment, well, maybe they'll revisit that.
Yeah, I think they will revisit. I think it's a good staircase. We actually share, ironically, a manager and Prime and our Coach Prime. Sorry about that, Rich. Coach Prime.
It's all good.
Sorry, Prime Time. And sharing that.
You're talking about Constance? Kind of, is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. And Constance said it best. I'm glad you gave her a shout out because
please,
she said
come
she
on
said,
now.
What you just said, Rich. She was like, "Hey, I got to be honest. We'll all figure it out, and even if it's not his alma mater, other schools will try to get their hands on him. But stated it being a good staircase and a good trampoline of sorts for him to springboard off of into this coaching world. I think he's going to be excellent. I think, obviously, he's one of the top 10 athletes to ever grace the earth, obviously specifically coming from the world of football. But I think he's got a lot to impart on young kids, not just from a coaching standpoint, but just betterment of them as young men as they go to that next chapter of their life. So I think he's dialing in. And you forgot somebody. I got to correct you.
Okay,
Rich.
Okay.
You forgot to state that in this world that I was able to transition into,
yes,
you yourself, brother, is no stranger to movies. You've done like 3 or 4 movies, right?
Well, you know, Omari, I get the odd residual check for playing TV guy in CSI Miami. Like Mike, if you want to go old school. You know, sure.
I go old school with you.
You do
your thing. I appreciate it.
Yeah, me and Lil Bow Wow were in the same movie.
Exactly.
I say that with no hint of irony. That's fact. These are facts that cannot be disputed. Omari,
we know facts, and you try to hide from them, so now the world knows them. you can check out Rich Eisen on Spell Part 2, which will come out, I don't know, 3 years from now.
I'm all in. Congrats on Spell 1. We know a lot of the same people, Omari. Let's make this a regular thing. Thanks for the call. Everybody should check out Spell in select theaters, available at home on premium video on demand and digital today. Thanks for the call. You take care of yourself.
Super humble. Big fan of yours. You take care.
Right back at you. That's Omari Hardwick, at Omari Hardwick on Twitter, and at Omari Hardwick Official on Instagram. That was delightful. I know we've got a lot still to come here. We've got a lot to do. Higher register,
do.
Sneaky good games, and
20 minutes left.
You know, no, we got one segment left. We got sneaky good games. We got higher register. We've got unlockiest lock of the week. I could go on and on about my filmography, I could go on and on.
Well, please do.
No, I don't want to.
All right.
I don't need to humble brag. Okay, that I've been in. I'm sorry. I don't want to humble brag. That I shook Jeff Garland's hand for 2 seconds in an episode of Curb.
I mean,
I could go on, but let's take a break. Coming right back, Chris Brockman, let's make some people some money.
Let's go.
And I gotta tell you, I think this is gonna be the best higher register yet. Coming up. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Very impressive, TJ.
Thank you.
The only thing missing is the Ezekiel Elliott jersey on the original.
That's because I morphed.
Oh, you've changed. I got it.
I morphed.
He combined.
I added sports to it.
Do you have the chain, though, for your stuffed animal tiger?
The funny thing is I had this tiger a few years ago, and I gave it away to someone because I dressed as this before, and I gave the chain away. So right now.
So you got the tiger back?
I ordered another one.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it came in from
That's aggressive.
Came in from Africa a couple of weeks ago, and now I'm just using
very lifelike, all of it. Yeah, you know, very lifelike, and that's a shoelace.
Well, I have a few shoelaces. Like I said, she's chilling right now, so okay. But if she wakes up,
I got to tell
more
you,
than a shoelace.
This is going to make it the best higher register ever for him to be dressed like this. Going higher register from underneath the dreads that block his face. At least don't touch a thing, actually.
No. Don't.
Are you wearing contacts today just because of this?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
I couldn't put contacts.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't think I'm going to go as anybody this year, although the kids are dressing up.
They are.
Yes, yep. There is a social distance trick-or-treat for the second graders, so they come to our house at a certain hour. And
nice.
We go around.
That sounds fun.
But the boys are dressing up, and I don't know if I am this year. It's going to be the first year in a while.
Yeah, I just wasn't feeling it.
It stinks. The whole thing stinks. But we're going to try and do it as best as possible for the kids.
All right, that's good.
Did you just go higher register right there?
Wait, real quick, because I know we still have a lot to do.
Yes.
Why are you anti-houses giving out the full candy bars?
Yeah, big candy.
Oh, we miscommunicated before.
Okay.
For anybody wondering.
Okay.
You know, we're saying like fun size versus the regular size candy.
Right.
And regular size candy is more expensive to give out the fun size. Fun size, and it's also for parents who normally don't feed this to children.
Right.
You know, it's much better to have, you can have the fun size, not this huge bar. I said that if you give my kid a huge bar, I will say to you, like, what are you doing? Not like the regular candy bar, like the one big, huge, loaf.
King size.
Yes, the king size, loaf of Snickers that Mooch once handed me because he thought I was being too, annoyed on the set once Snickers, you're not yourself. Right. You need one of these Snickers.
That makes
more
sense.
I thought, if they ever gave my child, one of these loaves, that's why I said my kid would say, I can eat this for the next 2.5 years. And I know I said I would go up to the parents and say, what's going on? I meant like the regular
size. Like the regular candy bar.
No, that I would just take away from my child and not go to the person who gave it out to call them out of being insane. But if they literally gave one of those huge ones that, by the way, you would have to cut up with a fork and knife to eat.
Yes.
You have to actually carve it to break off a piece of something.
Yeah,
something.
You would. Yeah.
By the way, if you use a fork and a knife on a candy bar,
that's psychotic too.
That's far worse than using it on pizza. Come on, man.
No, that was Mr. Pitt.
Yeah. How do you eat it with your hands?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Pitt ate a candy bar with a fork and knife, and Seinfeld used that as a funny moment because it is psychotic to do. And I feel the same way about eating a slice of pizza with that. And I think Twitter and YouTube and every other metric we have to measure our conversation from yesterday, grand slam home run.
But the pineapple, Rich, we lose that battle.
I don't understand it.
I don't know. We lose it sometimes.
People like it, man.
I also
people
feel like if you still give out those circus peanuts around Halloween, please. Which was part of the text yesterday, then there's something wrong with you.
Well, these days, you know.
Well, it's candy corn now.
Candy corn.
Well, candy corn is.
I'll eat candy corn before a circus peanut any day, though.
These days, we just you can't just throw unwrapped things into a bag. Please.
Well, like I said, this isn't a perfect world.
Please to get apples when I was a kid.
Just throw it like it's rice at a wedding. The kid, hey, happy Halloween. Just throw it right at the child. No.
We used to get apples. Psychotic. You remember apples, Rich?
One last thing, and I know because we're going to do higher register, sneaky good games, and then unlockiest lock of the week. I remember trick-or-treating. People used to hand us pennies.
Yeah.
And we're are you kidding me? Yeah, I remember trick-or-treating as a kid, pennies.
Well, those are the houses that got TP'd.
You're talking in the 70s.
Well, UNICEF used to have those little boxes.
I'm sorry, pennies. I'm like, come on now.
Come on now.
Literally, as a 7-8-year-old who I thought I was respectful to others.
Yeah.
Come on.
Because you're so excited.
Please.
And then you get a penny.
You got to be kidding me. All right, 844-204-RICH is always the number to dial. Let's do I thought last week's higher register went well. You first, Chris. then you, TJ, and then I'll finish up strong. It's the Friday edition of Higher Register here on The Rich Eisen Show.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen Show's.
That there could be.
Higher Register. Take of the week.
All right, Christopher, you're going to go first again. You got to go higher register to actually make a statement that you need to go higher register to believe.
All right, gentlemen, as you know, I am from the great area of New England. I am a New England sports fan, okay? We got the Celtics. They had a great run, but they ultimately lost in the Eastern Conference Finals in 7 games to the Miami Heat. The Boston Red Sox, boy, that was a forgettable summer of baseball. Preceded by trading their franchise cornerstone to the Los Angeles Dodgers, who just won a World Series thanks in part to...
Said cornerstone,
Mookie Betts. New England Patriots, I'm also a fan of them, they are not doing well. They are 2-4.
Uh-oh, what's this going to be? What's the
they
setup?
They are struggling, they are not going to make the playoffs, they are... in, dare I say, the Trevor Lawrence hunt. Now, cornerstone, Mookie Betts, boom, he wins the title. Our 20-year cornerstone, Tom Brady, 8-year cornerstone, Rob Gronkowski, they are now in Tampa.
Yes.
They are doing very well. They are a Super Bowl contender. And I'll tell you what, guys, the way my fandom has gone this year, let's just chalk it up. Tom Brady's going to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to be really happy for him.
Oh.
I'm going to be really, really happy for him. And so congratulations, Tom.
Oh. You're not going to be really happy for him, are you?
There's no way.
I'm going to be really, really happy for the guy. Number 7.
By the way, I'm rooting for that day.
Oh.
Oh, my God, am I rooting for that day. All right, TJ, what do you have over there?
Well, guys,
oh boy.
To borrow from Chris Brockman, as you know, I am a proud Central and Western Pennsylvania resident who grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan. And
weird.
Despite the fact that our team is one of the greatest of all time in the history of the NFL, lately we have not had a whole lot of success, I think it's fair to say. And I'm going to make this short and sweet because I don't know if I really believe it, but... After watching our quarterback go down with a broken, dislocated ankle and thinking that the entire season was over, we had Andy Dalton come in to take over, and then he basically got eviscerated on the football field last week. I got to believe this. Straight out of James Madison. Maybe Ben DiNucci is the answer.
Woo!
Maybe Ben DiNucci can take this tape, Nate.
By the
and
way,
win the division.
Crazier things have happened. Crazier things have not happened.
Crazy
things have happened, but nothing as crazy as a 7th-round selection out of James Madison.
Oh,
there was a 6th-round selection once who did it, but he was out of the University of Michigan who had just whipped Florida in the Orange Bowl.
You went to Michigan?
Okay. Just, I'm just saying.
Oh. DiNucci.
Here we go. I'm going to stick around in that same division.
Oh.
Yesterday, we had the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles on, Doug Peterson. And I understand coach speak when I hear it. I get it. I've been through this and that, and I've heard it all. It is what it is, and we can only control what we control. I don't have a crystal ball. All of it. And you could say that we got some coach speak yesterday, but I did hear some things from Doug Peterson about Carson Wentz. And I did hear about how more and more of the offensive linemen are coming back healthy. Jalen Reagor is going to come back healthy soon. We got Miles Sanders coming back healthy. Put it all together with Travis Fulgham now being somebody that they have discovered in this period of 2-4-1 dreadfulness with injuries all over the place, getting healthy. I will say this is my higher register. Maybe the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win the NFC East with an above 500 record.
Whoa.
Maybe they can all get healthy. They're 3-4-1 after this week.
Wait a minute.
Then the Philadelphia Eagles, after all that, after they're 3-4-1, they're on a bye, they get healthier. Then maybe the New York Giants, they make them 4-4-1. Then they're at Cleveland, 5-4-1, home for Seattle on a Monday night. You never know. Above 500, maybe they can finish 9-6-1.
You never know.
What happens when they finish 3-5? When they're 3-5-1 on Monday?
Oh, then I'll forget I ever said something like this.
Because that's where they're going.
Oh, you think so? Because Ben DiNucci is the answer.
Varsity true game.
Things, two things.
Yes.
True. One of our higher register must be true.
That's true. Yeah, right? That's true.
Okay? Because if yours is true, then mine is definitely not going to be.
Factual.
And if mine is true, then we definitely know that Ben DiNucci's not the answer.
One of us is lying to the people. I don't want it to be me.
I'm not lying. Oh, you got a bonus
one? I got
a
bonus one for you.
Okay. Oh,
Amari and you were talking about acting, Rich.
Yes.
Super Bowl open, you killed Horatio. It was unbelievable.
Oh, like, yeah, for the Super Bowl open for last year.
For last year. It was amazing.
Right, thank you.
Rich Eisen's actually, he's not a bad actor.
Thank you very much.
I've seen him work.
Yeah, look at that.
Look at that.
Come on. You tell me I didn't channel my inner Caruso.
You crushed it that day, bro.
When you came up to me and Brockman on the boat,
me on that boat,
I was like, we got Caruso in front of us.
That was such
I turned
a fun
to Brockman.
Day,
I go, Rich is dead in. You were on.
That was a great day.
You're actually not that bad. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Colin Hanks is the evil boat captain. Oh. And, of course, getting the original, the one and only Rex Lynn.
I mean.
To reprise his role.
That was
those
awesome.
Were great opens,
that,
man.
Yeah, that was
man,
so good.
Those were great.
That was fun.
Those were great. All right, Chris, are you ready for your sneaky good games?
Rock to make and roll, some people? Man.
You've got three and a bonus as well here.
I got three and a bonus college game.
All right, roll it.
Here's Chris Brockman with Sneaky Good Games. Contests likely to surprise you with their heretofore undisclosed competitive value.
It's amazing that Dr. Spichemin is also being channeled to get ready for Sneaky Good Games. It's very interesting.
All right, Sneaky Good Games, reference boys. Too, 2-1 last week. We're 12-8-1 on the year.
All right, you're doing all right.
We're doing all right.
Hey, you're not doing too bad.
No, not doing too bad. Okay, first up, Patriots Buffalo. Up in Western New York, I'm looking at the total, under 41. It's gone under in 4 of 6 New England's games this year. 6 of Buffalo's last 9 games against the Patriots, the total's gone under. This is also more about a weather play for me. It's going to be extremely windy, steady rain all day, showers continuing through the afternoon. Wind gusts up to 40 miles an hour. 90% chance of rain. Low-scoring game, ground and pound, Bills win. Next, Rich, you talked about Colts and Lions earlier. Give me the Lions. I just like the way they're playing football right now. I like that they're at home. Indy's only 1-7 straight up in their last 8 road games. I think that bodes well for the Lions at home to win this one. Steelers, Ravens. Oh, baby. Give me the Steelers, +4 on the road. Pittsburgh, 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 games. I know the Ravens are coming off a bye, but this says more how I feel about Pittsburgh.
Yes.
This game, traditionally, 3-point game. And your bonus college, Ohio State's going to roll. They're going to destroy Penn State. Penn State's quarterback, Sean Clifford, is already talking trash. They lost to Indiana last week. He said, I'm not here to hang with Ohio State. I'm here to beat Ohio State.
All right. You got to speak it to existence.
Not going to happen. Penn State is 0-5 against the spread in their last 5 home games. Buckeyes roll.
All right. I don't know about that Steelers gambit. I don't know about it. But that's not my unluckiest lock of the week, though. That is not.
Okay.
Let's roll it right here.
Lock it down. Or maybe leave it wide open.
Right,
the unluckiest lock of the week.
This is where I get hooked on a feeling. I just feel it in my gut. Last week, I came oh so very close again, did I not? With
You're
Cincinnati
very close
against
every
Cleveland.
Year.
Oh, my gosh. I'm off the Cincinnati wagon. And Minnesota would be unluckiest, wouldn't they? And not going to go in that direction, even with the news that Adam Schefter tweeting out that Aaron Jones has been ruled out for Sunday's game.
Yep.
So make plans accordingly right there. I think Jamal Williams is going to have a good game. So I'm going to leave that and put it aside. Here's what I feel. I feel every time you think that they're toast, they come up with a win that you don't expect. I think that the talking about getting together and getting on the same page.
You're doing it. Uh-oh.
They've talked about it and we talk about it. And I'm wondering when there's going to be an actual piece of evidence that the offense can do what they need to do. I'm taking the Chicago Bears as the unluckiest lock of the week over the Saints. You're even buying Nick Foles this week, aren't you?
I have Deshaun on a bye, so I'm starting Nick Foles.
I know. You're feeling it, too. I just get the sense. And Foles, as we know, last time he took on the Saints in that playoff game, he was lighting them up. I just get this sense. For some reason, every time you think the Bears can't do it anymore, they just shock you. Case in point against the Bucks. Similar situation, I have a
Michael
feeling.
Thomas did practice today.
Okay, so we'll see how that goes. I want to thank Bruce Feldman, Walker Buehler, Dan Lebatard, and Omari Hardwick, and you. Enjoy the college and professional football weekends, everybody. To our radio audience, we say have a great Halloween, safe Halloween weekend, and we will see you on Monday. For our Peacock audience, we'll recap the week when we come right back. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.